For prayer. Our kind-hearted Heavenly Father, our hearts are full of joy. We are so happy to be back into your presence. We thank you because before the foundation of the world, you foreknew us, you called us, you washed us, Heavenly Father. You made us sons and daughters. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation of our souls, the cleansing of our sins, the pardon that you granted, even the atonement that you will receive. Lord, we bless you for our physical needs. Thank you for daily provision. Thank you for journey messages to and fro. Thank you for every family represented in this place. Thank you, God, for your people all over the world. Thank you for your divine presence upon us, Lord. We have come to express our profound gratitude. All we can just say this morning is thank you. Have mercy, Heavenly Father. Even as we have come this morning, we haven't come for any man. We have come unto the Lord. We ask, O God, Father, that the praises of our lips, our worship and service this morning be acceptable, O God. Let it be, O God, Father, that as we go into the Sunday school, Father, that the entrance of your word will do us good this morning. Break every fetter, Lord Jesus. Heal the sick and the afflicted, O God. Take care of your people's need, O God. Lord, take over my mouth, Heavenly Father. Let it be you speaking to us from above. In the name of Jesus Christ, we put under control, Lord, every wrong spirit that may want to exalt itself above the authority of the word, above the supremacy of the Holy Spirit. I will render them powerless to the praise and glory of your name. Take charge, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, because you are more than able. For in Jesus Christ's name, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. God bless the church. All right, before we have a seat, let's just read from the word, and then we start making further comment. I'm really happy to be in your midst. I haven't stood here at any time, but it's a grand privilege for me to be on this podium. Just permit me to be succinct now. Probably when we come into the main service, I'm going to make further comment more than this. God bless you. All right, let's open our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1. And I will also read from Romans chapter 12 by the grace of God. Leviticus chapter 1. Can you reduce the bass for me a bit? Amen. All right, I will read verses 6 to 9. If you are there, say amen. Amen. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the part, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all. The priest shall do what? But not some part of the animal, of the sacrifice. the priest is going to burn all. Amen. Shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Romans 12 now. Okay, I think I have a screen before me now. I will just speak only verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before we have a seat, shall we just pray, speak to the altar of the word once again. Lord, as mortal men that we have read from the pages of your word. But Lord, we know that inspiration and revelation comes from thee. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that you speak to our souls. Lord, and cause our heart to accept your word. Cast out unbelief and doubt, Heavenly Father, and increase faith within us. For in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's have a seat. By the grace of God, I want us to examine a little subject here, which I tie to the occasion of the burnt offering. The occasion of the burnt offering. Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 was actually making an expression and was trying to make us see how we are perceived as sacrifices. Every individual, as far as God is concerned and the word of God is concerned, we are a sacrifice. If you will, say amen. And if you check what Apostle Paul was saying here, it's like he's appealing to our conscience. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. If we look at the book of Leviticus, we can say that it's like God giving his church order of worship. How do I mean? There was no regulation, there was no law before Leviticus on how worship should go. Shortly after when the people of God, the Israelites, came out of Egypt and they entered into the wilderness. Don't forget that the reason God brought them out of Egypt, which Moses said specifically unto Pharaoh, was that, let my people go that they might what? Worship me. So that means the intention of God for his people, even before he brought them out of bondage and slavery, was for the purpose of worship. And God was mindful of the fact that he would not allow this worship to be done anyhow. That suggests the reason why in every Exodus there is an order of worship. Because God is careful enough of the kind of worship that he receives. God does not accept any kind of worship. He does not accept all kind of worship. So what it tells us is that when we come into the house of God, we must be mindful of our heart condition and how we render this worship unto God. We have actually read from Leviticus, and the Bible told us that when a man wants to come to offer his burnt offering, he must be sure that that burnt offering is unto the Lord. I think we read it. When a man brings his sacrifice into the tabernacle, don't forget that in the wilderness, they hadn't no temple. It was a tabernacle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And despite that God wanted this worship to start in the wilderness, like I said before, God was careful and was mindful that the people knows how to do this worship. And you know what? When God was about to tell them the order of this worship, God only told one man, and that was Moses. God was speaking to Moses, and from Moses to the people. That's why we read in Leviticus chapter 1, where he said that, and God said unto Moses, says, speak unto these people. If a man must bring his burnt offering, there is an order of worship. This order of worship must not be faulted. This order of worship must not be disregarded. If one line of this instruction as per this worship is flooded, it's not acceptable. That explains the reason Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that ye present yourself as a living sacrifice. Because when a man is going to bring a sacrifice to the temple, he's not going to bring a dead sacrifice. If he brings a dead sacrifice, God is not going to accept it. So God does not expect that he would have killed a sacrifice at home and say that I got a sacrifice anyhow. It does not matter where I'm going to kill it. Where you are going to kill the sacrifice matters. You don't have to kill the sacrifice a distance away from the tabernacle. God expects that they bring their sacrifices into the tabernacle. Because the slaughtering, the killing of the tabernacle must be done at some place, which is at the door. And Jesus said that, I stand at the door. I am the door of the sheepfold. So God began to give them the condition and how this sacrifice, the conditions that this sacrifice must meet for it to be acceptable. The Bible told us that the sacrifice, one, must be a male sacrifice. Is that correct? Another point is that the sacrifice must be living. Number one is male sacrifice. Number two must be a living sacrifice. Number three is that the sacrifice must not have a blemish. Now let's take note of these three key points. The sacrifice must be male in gender. The sacrifice must be a living sacrifice. The sacrifice must not have a spot nor wrinkle. No wonder the Bible says that God is preparing us as a bride without spot or what? No wrinkle. What makes a living sacrifice? Do you know the Bible told us that there are people who are on the street now, by the virtue of human perspective, they look to be living, but they are not actually living. There is a clear difference between living and existence. You can be existing and you are not living. But if you must live, you must have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No wonder when God created Adam, from the beginning, Adam was not living. For God to make Adam to live, God had to breathe into him. Are you following me? And the Bible said that man became a living. But the point is that before God breathed into Adam, was he not living? Was he not existing? Yes, he was. But he was not living. So he took the bread of God for Adam to be a living soul. No wonder when Jesus came back again, the Bible said he breathed upon them. But that breath never took effect until Pentecost. So it takes the baptism of the Holy Ghost for a man to be living. So you can be in the church, existing, forming the bench, and you are not living. That is why Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, that you present yourself. You don't bring a dead animal. You present yourself a living sacrifice. Jesus became a sacrifice for us, and Jesus expects that we should follow suit, because exactly what he was, we must be. He was our sacrifice.
He expects that we as ourselves, we must be what? Sacrifices unto God. But must be an acceptable sacrifice. So we can begin to relate with what makes an acceptable sacrifice. So that suggests the fact that not all sacrifices are acceptable. There are many people in the churches today, but I can bet with you that their worship is not accepted. Why? One, because they are not living. And there's only one place that life, eternal life can be found, is in Malachi 4. That is the tabernacle. That is the arena. That is the environment that life retains. That life exists. Outside of the confines of Malachi 4, there is no life. There is no life anywhere. That was why God was specific about the instruction to Moses. Tell the people to come to this tabernacle. They can build other tabernacle elsewhere, no problem. But God was particular about the one that he gave instruction to Moses about. God told them, before they left Egypt, borrow from your neighbors, borrow from your friends, and you know, those who were in Egypt, the Egyptians then, gold, silver, bronzes, and all those things. But God never told them what they were going to use it for. But God only told Moses, and Moses never revealed it. When they came out of Egypt, and they entered into the wilderness, that God wanted to start setting the church in order on how the tabernacle must be built, positioned, and things like that, God took his servant to Mount Sinai. He went to Mount Sinai and never returned on time. The people knew the code. They knew that by the written word, there must be worship anywhere in the wilderness. And the person that was supposed to lead the worship was not there. And they began to summon, you know, call for meeting. This our pastor is not here. Remember COD, volume 2, page this and this. We must worship. God said that in Egypt, that we must worship. And who is going to lead this worship? The second in command, so to speak, what was his name? Aaron was confused. You know why he was confused? Because he had no clue of how the order of worship was to go. He became confused. And they took him this way, they took him that way. Oh, he told the people, okay, if we must worship, don't forget that what they learned in Egypt was to bow down to what? Graven image. And God already told them in Exodus 20, don't do that anymore. You could have done that way back, that's fine. But as from this time, don't bow down to any graven image. You know why? Because God is a jealous God. God does not permit jealousy for any man, but God permits jealousy for himself. When you have the spirit of jealousy, that is satanic on you. Jealousy is the sole right of God and God alone, because it takes God to manage jealousy. Only God can manage what? Jealousy. That was why he said, I am a jealous. Oh my. Well, you can't say that. When you have jealousy, it will make you misbehave. But jealousy gives God pride. It makes God to acknowledge of his deity. It makes God to know that you are God. Are you following me? So, Aaron was confused and said, okay, I don't have revelation about the court, but we must do something. You gather yourself, what do you have? He said, we have gold. We have silver. All right, what can I make? Okay, I have seen something in Egypt before. Okay, let us make a calf god. You can see how daft they were. They could not even make something bigger, like a big bull. Or lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. They could not make a giraffe, very tall and mighty. Do you know what a calf is? is a baby cattle. Baby cattle. You see, when a man tries to be smart, God knows how to defile it. God knows how to defile the wisdom and the knowledge of man. When a man refuses the instruction of God, then it will catch up with you. They made a calf and they began to worship. Now, by the court, were they not correct to worship anyhow? Were they not correct? Yes, they were right by the court. Because God said that you come out of Egypt, I'm taking you into the wilderness that you might start my worship. So when they got into the wilderness, Exodus 33, they never waited for God to give them instruction about the worship. And they missed it there. They never waited for one man leadership in every age. One man leadership in every dispensation. I think you know this. But sometimes our actions do not tell us that you know all these things. Like I was speaking in the church last week, you know, when I see people, I kind of wonder if they have ever received the message. We claim to know many things, but we are not doing as much as we have received. And it's a concern. They began to worship, and they worship and worship. Then God spoke to his prophet. Say, your people, they have messed up. Look at what they have done. Look at what they have done. Look at what they have done. As soon as Moses returned to the camp, he saw the people messy, worshiping the calf God. The instruction that Moses got from God, he could not even deliver it. Anger, make him what? Smote it. And he said, who is on the Lord's side? In every dispensation, God always provides his Levites. Levites are those who will not spare anybody with their sword. They are ready to kill at every point in time. The Bible said that Moses called the Levites and they smote all of them. In every Exodus, God always provides his Levites. So if you are not standing right, if the word of God eats you, it might give you eternal separation from God. You will die. There are two consequences when a man receives the word of God. When a man receives the word of God, it's either it gives him faith, for faith coming by what? Hearing. Another one is that when a man receives the word of God, it can make you a vagabond, like he did Cain. God actually spoke to him, but unto Cain, it was what? Judgment. We must be careful about the worship of God. So God expects, I want to listen up, that it must be a living sacrifice. And I said that what makes a living sacrifice is that you must have there's no two ways about it. It's either you are filled or not. It's either you have the Holy Ghost or you don't have it. Let us stop warming the bench. I caught some people on the internet. Right in my church. I was crying. And I was like, God, haven't I been preaching? Is this what I've been telling these people? And they will not change. Let me tell you, the sword of the Levite is here. You better shape up. In every Exodus, there are Levites. Those Levites are ever standing with God. When things are going wrong, they are always there to strike at any time. You remember the time of Jacob? The guy Levite and Simeon. Those two guys destroyed the city of Hammon. Is it not Hammon? They told the people, okay, no problem. You are going to marry our sister, but you must be circumcised. God cannot give his spirit to a vagabond. Don't forget that the Bible told us that it was a deception, and God allowed that deception. They were actually circumcised, but it was for a purpose. The Bible said after 3 days, It became sore, and they were like this. The Holy Spirit of God taps Simeon and Levi. It is right now. You can do the havoc. When God knew that they wouldn't have any power again, no strength. If you have something between your legs, you'll not be able to walk very well, right? How can two people destroy a whole city? Is it possible? But God in his divine ways. When God is going to bring judgment, he can do it beyond human thinking. That was how he started. Levi took his sword. Before they say, okay, you have sword in between your legs. You can't fight. They smote all the males. You know what God did? God made it happen that they will never have any cause to have seeds again. Destroy all the men that will reproduce. Let's be careful, friends. Destruction is around the corner. Levite are there. Every time that the word of God is coming from this pulpit, it is the Levite curtain. You believe that? Say amen. So you must be living unto God. When you are not living, your coming here every day is not acceptable. Take it from me and don't leave it. Your Sunday worship, your Wednesday worship is not acceptable. And the Bible said that it is when your sacrifice is acceptable that it becomes what? A reasonable service. So God is after a reasonable service, not just service anyhow. A reasonable service. I think I have 5 minutes more. Okay. I'm okay like this. I passed my message. But let me quickly reflect on verses 7 to 9. Give us Leviticus chapter 1. You know, the Bible mentioned 4 things that the sacrifice must be divided. The sacrifice must be divided into 4. Why 4? But Abraham said that God doesn't joke with his numbers. 4 is a number of deliverance. So God told them that the sacrifice must be divided into 4. It must be divided into the head. Read along with me. The head. Is that correct? The fat. The inwards. And then the legs. But Abraham said that your head is your knowledge. So head there speaks of what? Your knowledge. That's why the Bible says that do not lean to your own understanding. There's a way you can allow your head get into the program of God so much that it will cause you harm. The Bible said that Zechariah was a devout man, a righteous man to the core, and he was praying, believing God for a child, and when that child was to come, an angel appeared at the point of service, and the angel said, I have come from the presence of the Lord. That was not enough for him to believe him. Was that not enough for him to believe God? But yet, his head, he said, how can this thing be? God told him that the child will receive the Holy Spirit right from the womb. How can he? See, I am very old. My wife is very old. That is the head. How can this thing be? It's not possible now. What? With God, all things are what? Oh, friends, that is 100%. All things are possible with God. I won't be able to stress that more because of time. The second one, fat, speaks of strength. The Bible says that the Lord is what? Say with me. My light and my what? And then? Who shall I what? The Lord is the strength of what? Outside of the strength of God, which is the strength of the world, you will never make it. Outside of that. But Abraham said that God works with laws. And God set his laws in motion. When God speaks his word is in motion. Don't think you have to push the word of God. Mm-mm. You are the one that will push yourself. The word of God is not static. The word, as I'm speaking, it is moving everywhere. Any heart that opens up, he enters and gives eternal life. The laws of God are being controlled by the word of God that is in motion. You are the one that has to open up. I stand at the door and knock. God is ever ready. You are the one that is not ready. The Holy Spirit is just beside you. He's just right. As I'm speaking, he's just there. Look to your side. Holy Ghost is there. When your faith rises up to that level, you will receive it. You don't have to wait any longer. Like you are waiting for a promotion boss. We need the strength of God's word to ride on through our life issues and situations. And this strength is always being what? Renewed. Remember, God likens us to an eagle. And when God wants to renew our strength, he brings tribulations and troubles. And you say you don't want it. What you are saying is that you don't want renewal strength. For those who can wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me leave it there. The third one, which is the inward, speaks of your desire, your emotions, your affection. How do you think about God? What does your desire look like? Are you the type of person that it is your whole you want to do? Regardless of what God says, what you see in the world, you don't care. God, I want this, I want this. If you don't give me, What's your emotions? What's your desire? And the last one, the legs, that speaks of your direction. God wants to direct us. He wants to lead us. Let God lead you. Let's not forget this point. Let's take them into cognizance. And the Lord God will be our help. Shall we pray? Oh God of heaven, we just thank you this morning. Because your word is yea and amen. Thank you because we have heard your word. And we can say that we are revived. Oh God, as this word has come, let it break every fetter. Let it increase our faith, Lord. Let it heal our sicknesses. Let it take away our diseases, Lord. Let it take away our affliction, Heavenly Father. May it make us sons and daughters, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, until we are built into the stature of a perfect man. Grant it, Heavenly Father, take over of the song service and the rest of the service today to the praise and glory of your name. For we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.